It was the middle of day of Purim. In the corner of the house of Avraham Sternhaus in Katamon. Avraham Sternhaus in Katamon. There were two tzaddikim of Breslev there. And there was a big conversation between them. People saw it was stealing something. They were both drunk, yeah? One is begging the other one about something. The other one, no, no way, I can't, no. Who were the two? Rav Shmuel Shapira and Rav Shmuel Horowitz. Two huge, huge tzaddikim. Rav Shmuel Shapira really wanted to go to Uman. But the problem was, it was closed Uman. It was communist. The problem. And he, but Rav Shmuel Horowitz, even the Uman was closed, he went to Uman. He almost died on the way there and on the way back. And the communists put him in jail. And he went through all the long things. It's a long story. I'm not going to go through it right now.
Can you?
No.
I mean, not now, but I mean...
Eventually. And he went to Uman and he was in... He was there for a few years. 4 years, I think. His wife was there. But he went because his father-in-law told him to... You know, you divorce my wife, you're my daughter, because you're close to Breslev, and Breslev is not Judaism, it's Tfila. Kitzu, he fled. He wanted to sign a contract that he's not going to go to Uman, he's not going to get close to Breslev, I'll learn Kutem Oran, and that. Kitzu, cuckoos. And Rav Shmuel was asking Rav Shmuel Horowitz, Rav Shmuel Shapir was asking Rav Shmuel Horowitz to buy Tikkun HaKlali from him. The merits of one Tikkun HaKlali that he said on the Tzion of Rabbeinu. Okay? Now it's not Sam, the one that he said on the Tzion of Rabbeinu on Erev Rosh Hashanah. No? And what is going to give him? What is he going to give him for it? How much money is he going to give him? No, not money. I'm only going to give you all my Olam Haba. And he had a huge Olam Haba. Shmuel Shapir has a huge Olam Haba. I'll give you all my Olam Haba, all of my Olam Haba. All my merits of all my mitzvahs, everything, all my learning, all my Shmuel Sinai, everything like we read here, who he was, all the Kibbutz Tzadikim, everything, all my holiness, I'll give you. Just give me the merits of one Tikkun HaKlali that you said on the Tzion of Rabbeinu on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Rav Shmuel said, you're crazy? Tikkun HaKlali that I said on the Tzion of Erev Rosh Hashanah? How could that be? How could I sell a Tikkun HaKlali that I said on the Tzion of Rabbeinu? It's worth a lot more than your Olam Haba. Yeah. Anyways, so Shmuel he learned that he has to be stubborn. No, I need this Tikkun HaKlali, and he was drunk. Right? Usually he was very quiet, but he was drunk. I guess he was a bit more. Yeah. So you tell him. Let's say you don't think my Tikkun, like your Tikkun HaKlali is maybe you think it's worth more than my Olam Haba, but there's a mitzvah that after the Racha Kamecha, you have to love your fellow friend. You don't want me to have a Tikkun HaKlali? You have a bunch, a lot. I don't even have one. Give me one. Okay? The Kitzu. And then he's telling you this way and that way, and he's giving all kinds of things. And he's telling you, what? Is it possible? There's something, there's anything in the world you can give me for a Tikkun HaKlali that I said in the Tzion? No way. Anyways, and they're arguing and this back and forth. And then Shmuel's crying, and he's crying. He says, you know what? Give me the most Pashut Tikkun HaKlali you said on the Tzion. The one with no Kavana, that he had the least Kavana, not on the... Just give me one Tikkun HaKlali. Fine, you know what? I agree. And Shmuel, they immediately took a paper, taking a contract. He's telling his all his Olam Haba, the whole Olam Haba that he has, all his merits for one simple Tikkun HaKlali that he said on Tzion. Look how much he admired one Tikkun HaKlali on the Tzion in Uman. Today, you know, take a plane, $200 in the Kiev, Yala. Don't kill you on the way. Yeah. He took a paper and pen and they wrote it down. And then they called the Shmuel, looked, and they were. And then suddenly. Shmuel Horowitz is reading again, or what was written. He said, no, I want it to be written, a special thing on the bottom, And we're not talking about a tikkun klali of Rav Hashanu, only a pashut tikkun klali. I want it to be written. He said, what do you care, Rav Hashanu? No, no. Anyways, no way. If you don't change the contract, it will be a pashut tikkun klali. I'm not selling it. So he saw that it, so they wrote a new one, and they wrote that in. Okay. Shmuel so happy. And he feels like it was the best deal he could do in his life. The only deal he did in his life. He never bought an apartment. He never did anything. Everything was done. I don't know. He didn't do anything. Anyways, Shmuel always signed. And he said, think. He told him Shmuel Shapiro. You're giving me something that maybe you don't even have. Who said you have Olam Haba? So how do we do such a thing? Maybe it's not a good sell. But I have a tikkun klali for sure. So I want to nullify the agreement. So you're selling it for something that maybe you don't have. If you have it, okay. But maybe you don't have it. The Shmuel says it's like crying. No, Shmuel, have mercy on me. Sign. Please. So Shmuel always saw how sad he is to find his sign. Of Nachum Bullstein, he was a Zatzal, just died 2 months ago. He was a witness to this, and he signed, and another guy signed. But me, of Nachum Bullstein, he said the whole story. I didn't really sign. I wrote, Yankel Honigvetchel. Yankel, the guy who deals with the honey, no, the
honey,
yeah, honey, the honey guy, he deals the honey, yeah. So they signed it, so it's forged, yeah. It's not good. There's no 280. Next day after Purim, Shmuel Shapira meets me in the shul. Says, Nachman, what are you doing with me? What? You spoiled my tikkun haklali. You make fun of the signature. So Shmuel was he was 17 years old. He was a kid, yeah. Also, it was perfect for me. I was drunk. I didn't know what I'm doing. I remember what I signed, what I did. I don't remember anything. You think of Shmuel Horowitz agrees to this? He was also drunk. Once his wine leaves him, he won't leave it. So Shmuel left it. A few days later, I met with Shmuel again. Shmuel Shapira, Rav Nachman says this. He says, you were right, Rav Nachman. It was a signature that was when we were drunk. The day after Purim, Shmuel Horowitz immediately came to Shmuel Shapira's house, knocking on the door. No way! It's you duped me. It's not right. You deceived me. Asur, I was drunk and I didn't really mean to do it. I want you now to give me the shtar. I want to tear it. So I gave him the paper of Shmuel's Shapiro, and he tore it. Anyways, it wasn't good. What do we learn from this story? You see how they appreciate Uman, what Uman is. By everyone, they had yearning to Uman. By Shmuel, his heart was Uman. He was Uman. He was just Uman. This is the tune.
Did he get there during the communist year?
Yeah. Once, yeah, also the last year of the communists when there was an organized group. The last year of his life, 1989.
People were already going.
1988, but he died in 1989, what?
People were going then,
yeah. Yeah, 200 people. The first time there was an organized group. First time there was an organized group.
In the 70s, how they were going.
Yeah, Rabban told me that he went 1975 with the blade of
Belan. Who?
Shmuel's son, one of his sons.
He was
Shmuel's son? What? He also was there in 1975 or something. Yeah. I spoke to Rabban Shapira, Shmuel's son, today, this morning. He told me, you know, I went through Austria. He told me about Austria. I went to Austria in 1975 with Rav Berlan and Rav Shimon Shapira and Rav Nachum David, and there were 5 people or 6 people. I think they reached the month. In those days, going to Uman wasn't even a dream. It was Just like impossible. It was like impossible. Hours of ability to be diving on this that you go first, you go to one.
Nothing. I mean, you go sleeping at that time because you say you can put me everything in the way I could.
Nathan said, even if there'll be knives the whole way to Uman and I'll have to crawl there, I'll go. He said, also, even if I go to the next world and they tell me I'll send you back down to this world, but I'll agree to go down, because usually a person is supposed to not agree to go down for anything. He said, I'll agree to go down if they promise me that I'll be one time on the Tzion and Uman and say to Uman. Rabbi Nathan said this. They appreciate it, Uman. We don't know what Uman is. We just go. We don't feel anything. They say in the name of Shmuel that 55 minutes after the hour he goes out, he just died and you go to Uman. In 5 minutes, he asked other things. So they weren't sure about this. Shmuel really said this. So Brenner, the son of Brenner, he wanted to make sure. So he went to Shmuel, and so Shmuel said, of course, what do you mean? Sikut Torah 151:23. It says that the main thing is get close to Tzadikim. And what? How do you get close to Tzadikim? Got to go to Uma.
The son of Abraham.
No, the son of
Abraham.
He's old now. That's old. He's 60 years old, maybe. He was when he spoke to the Shmuel. There he goes, 65. There he goes. The Shmuel, he said, for sure, soon the communists are going to fall. One day, you know when. And everyone will be able to go. Wow. He said it. Here. He always told people, to make sure that they shouldn't have a helicopter when you can't go out of the country.
You cannot go out?
Say a person has debts or whatever and he can't leave the country.
I think that's only in Israel.
Oh, it's in other places than
that? Well, I've never seen a problem in the United States. I mean, they may question you as a terrorist. They have a no-fly list.
There's a law here that if you have debts or if a person, his wife doesn't want to leave the country, they won't give her a get or whatever. They
work for it.
Yeah, whatever, they prevent you from leaving the country. You can't leave the borders. I think other countries also have it. For sure. So, here it's more strict because of divorce. If the husband leaves, the wife can stay unmarried for the rest of stay alone the rest of her life. She can marry. By going, it doesn't make a difference. She'll just marry someone else. She'll divorce him without him being the going, right? You go to the we shut up and we tell him I'm not married to him. Anyways, he used to always tell people, make sure you don't have this thing that prevents you from leaving the country, because soon we're going to go to Uman. Always used to when the communists were existing still. So. Moshe Kremel from the shul, very old also, at least in his upper 70s. Yeah, right? He remembers once of Shmuel sitting and singing with the nigun of Bechav Yizdachav, Sharetziyon, Asher Ohavti. It says in one of the piyutim in Tikkun Chatzot, Sharetziyon, Asher Ohavti, the gates of Zion that I love. To the gates of Zion will fly like birds, like doves. But he changed it from Zion, Tzion, to Tzion. Tzion, Sharetziyon, Asher Ohavti. All the rest of us do that. He cried that he can't go there. One time, when Anash went to Meron, so he told them that when you go to Rabbi Shimon, he said to him, Akvali, yeah, so also cry over there, the tefillah of Rabbi Yitzchak Breitel, he had special tefillah to merit to go to Uman, to be on the Tzion. Because Rabbi Yitzchak Breitel couldn't go to Uman. He was in Poland also, and it was communist, he couldn't get across the border.
He never was there anymore?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay. It's time. I would love to tell you the whole book, but there's not maybe.